In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm really blessed to be among you today. Servants, you're servants, right? The servants of this church. And the church here is very famous by the fathers who are serving the best fathers in the world. And all the servants, those who are doing a very good job among people. So, I'll not add anything to you because you are already saints and you're doing a very good job, but I will do my best to speak with you about how to be more better and a very good servant. I think to be a good servant, first thing, you have to have faith. Faith. If I ask you now, any one of you, do you have faith? You will say, yes, sure. I have a very strong faith. Since my childhood, I was saying that because I grew up in our church, Coptic Orthodox Church, and we learn about faith and we know everything about faith. But do you really have faith? This is the point. You can say easily that I have faith. But do you really have faith? When the time of test comes to you, do you have faith? I found myself, while I was saying that all my life, but when it comes to truth, to the point that I have to show my faith, I found myself very weak in faith. I found myself that I am really not a very strong, faithful person. For example, I had to go every night. I've been into solitude for around 9 years in my life. So I had to go every night during this period. I don't see anybody. I don't talk to anybody. I just live alone in my cell. So because to keep my muscles still working, so I have to walk in the desert during the night. So I had to go outside of my cell and into the desert every day at midnight and come back at 3 or 4 a.m. Just walking around. I had to go to do that every day. But one day, one night, devil, came to my mind and said, a scorpion will bite you, a scorpion will bite you. Because I have a slipper in my feet, so he said, this is not good, you will be bite by a scorpion will bite. I tried to get rid out of the thought, but I couldn't. So I went to back myself, I put on shoes, then I went to the desert again, walking around and have fun and praying, and everything was good. After I came back to my cell, and after I laid down into my bed, or like bed, so I felt there is something in my pocket, very close to my heart, making noise. Then I looked with the candle, I found a very, very big scorpion into my pocket, very, very close to my heart. So if it just one bite, I will die immediately. So I said to God, okay, God, I got the message, I'm sorry. I had no faith. The shoes will not protect me, of course. But God, He is the protector. So I learned that had to be faithful by hard lessons. So what I'm telling you that we are, as a servant, we say, yes, we have faith, very strong faith. But when it comes to a point which you have to show your faith, sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we have little faith. I remember I went to Canada in 1984 to study there. Then when I was there just for less than a year, they took me to the dorm. I was a Buna, a monk, but they took me to the dorm. And it was a very strange dorm. I was studying at St. Francis Xavier University, Halifax. It was very strange that I found, when I arrived there, I found the girls and boys together. I said, no problem. But I went to the bathroom areas. I found it was a disaster for me. That I found that the doors of the toilets, it's very short from above on high, and very higher from down there. So if there is somebody tall, you can see his leg and his head also. So there was, I think, a girl from Belize, or she was, I think she was from Central America, and she was there, and said, I looked at her, I could see her face and her head, and she said, "Hi, Father, we were waiting for you." Waiting for me? Oh, my goodness. I said, "Okay, I can't go to the toilet anymore." No, no, no. But the problem was, how could I stay for a year without a toilet? This is a very, very big problem for me, it was. So, and I found also the shower room with curtains. Anybody can open it, anybody. Oh, no problem, and sorry. Sorry? No, it's not sorry, it's a big problem. So I kept telling them, no, I will not stay. Take me back to Egypt. They said, is he a crazy monk or what? I said, no, I will not stay. I have to go back. So thank God they gave me a kind of suite room, so I was alone with my bathroom and everything. Oh, thank God, it was good. I'm telling you that because at the time they gave me to spend money, a lot of money. They gave me around $257 to as a pocket money with me for a year. So they finished in less than a month, actually. Yeah, I thought it's a lot of money. You know, I have 250 something. It disappeared. It's a month and a few days. I had no penny. So before the money finished, I had nobody to tell him to give me some more money. So I put the money in front of God and said to him, "Look, God, remain only $50. Do something. I can't beg in the street. You have to do something." Second day, "God, they became $30. Do something." And I kept doing that until it remained only $3 or $5. I said, "God, finish. Only $5. Tomorrow I will stand at the door of the university and doing that and say, please help. I am a poor guy from Egypt." So, thank God, and next day, the registrar of the university asked me to give lecture in one of the universities. So I went to give a lecture, and after I finished, they sent me a check with $80. Wow, it was fortunate. I said, oh, thank you, Lord, you give me a lot. So the registrar came and said, "Would you please give more lectures?" I said, "Yes, as much as you can." Because this is the only source I have. One day, they sent me to very far away from the place which I'm in the university to give a lecture in another high school or university. So they asked me always, "Would you like to spend the night over in a house or in a dorm or a motel?" Motel wasn't bad, but you know, there was something called discotheque underneath, and when I slept there, and the whole night something into my head, so I couldn't sleep. So I said to them, "No dorms, because I know the bathrooms. No motels, because I know what is down there. I was preferred to sleep in one of the houses, Canadian houses." So one night I went to a family, and the family was only two kids. Their names Magan and Ilyam, and their grandmom. And she was very, very present lady, And she didn't like me from the scratch. She said, "What are you doing with yourself like that? What robe you have?" I said, "It's my uniform." She said, "Your uniform in the church, not here." I said, "Actually, the uniform we use it always during the work." She said, "Are you coming to work in my house?" I said, "Actually, I'm working with God 24/7, so I can't take off my robe. I have to put it all the time like that, so I can't take it off." She said, "It's funny, silly," and she was saying a lot of things while I was her guest, anyway. At the end, the two kids started to ask me about everything. What is this? And what is this? And what is that? And what is that? Everything. I came from another planet, and they have to ask me. And I was explaining for them. I'm not an alien, and I'm just a human being. I came from Egypt. This is my uniform. I'm praying. I'm a priest. I'm a Coptic, and so on. And I told them that I am from Saint Anthony Monastery. And I told them that Saint Anthony, we call him a saint, because he's a saint. He's praying with us in heaven. And if we ask for his intercession, he's always there for his prayers. He's always there, pray with us. And I kept telling them about saints. So at the end of the session, the boy said to me, he was 7 years old, "So your Saint Anthony can come to Canada?" I said, "Of course." "Can he come to our house?" I said, "For sure." He said, "Okay, let him cure my eye." He had one eye, and the other one had no pupil at all. It was just white. And the other one, blue and very nice. He born like that. So his grandma said, "Yeah, show us. Show us something about your saints." She was waiting for me. But actually, I learned from Africa because I was serving in Africa. It's nothing. It's easy to come out of that. I said to him, "Look, my son, there is something called faith. And without faith, God will not work at all." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Always Jesus Christ was asking anybody, 'Do you have faith? If he has faith, the miracle will happen. But if he doesn't, so it won't happen. So do you have faith?'" He said, "What is faith exactly?" I said, "Faith to be sure that God can do anything. And the important point that his will be there." He said, "Oh, no, I don't. Do you?" "Yes, I'm Coptic Orthodox, you know. Of course, I have very strong faith than anybody else in the world." He said to me, "From where did you get your faith?" "Of course not from Costco." I was sure of that. I said to him, "I didn't know. Nobody asked me before from where I got my faith." I said to him, "Look, in Egypt, they always feed their babies through breastfeed. So they mix with the milk some faith. It's like shay bilaban, like milk with faith together. And they feed us milk with faith. And we grow up with faith." So he said, "But my mom gave me nothing." I said, "Yeah, look, tell your grandma." I said to him, "But you have to be sure that at any time you ask Jesus Christ will give you whatever you want." He said, "So if I ask him, he will give me faith?" He was taking it very serious, very serious. I said, "Yes, for sure." He said, "For how long I'm going to ask him?" I said, "I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 5 years. It depends between you and Jesus, yeah, the relationship." He said, "How do I know that I got faith? I said, "You will be very sure, convinced into your mind, into your heart. You'll find your heart filled with peace and happiness and joy. And this is faith. He said, can I try? Try what? To get faith. Okay. He left us to the other room, and he was praying to Jesus Christ. A boy, 7 years old, he took my words as it is, and he was asking Jesus for faith. And he kept crying to the Lord and said, please, Jesus, please give me faith. I don't have any faith. Please, please, you can give me faith. And he kept doing that. And I was really very upset. I said, why I told him that? But after 13, 14 minutes, he came back with his cheek and tears. And he said, Father, I have very strong faith. So his grandma told him, no, faith in what? Miracle will not happen at all. He said, no, it will. Jesus will cure me. When you pray for me, I told him that if somebody's sick, he has to call the priest and anoint him with the holy oil, and the prayer of faith will cure him. So he said, as you told me that you are a priest, and you will anoint me with the holy oil, and also will ask your friend, Saint Anthony, to come and pray with us. And Jesus for sure will cure me. She said to him, don't say that because it might not happen at all. She was afraid, of course, that he will shock and get shocked. So he said, no, I'm sure. I felt my heart filled with peace and happiness. And I am convinced, and nobody can make me doubt in that. I am sure 100% Jesus Christ would cure me. He will cure me, I'm sure. Just do your job. I said, okay, I will. After the supper, I anointed him with the oil which I had, and I prayed for him, and he went to bed. I couldn't sleep, actually. I was praying most of the night. Just I said to God, I might not see seeing this boy, that boy anymore in my life, but he can be a mission work or something. He can be a very good witness for you, so do whatever you like and strengthen his faith. I this is all my prayer about. At 4 a.m. I think I fell into deep sleep because I was so tired. At 9 a.m., I found the boy on top of me, kissing me and said, look at my eye. God created for him a new pupil. I was in tears like him. I was in tears also like him. But I said to him, which one? Because both of them were the same, exactly. God created for him a new eye. In the 21st century, still miracle happening. The boy went to the street and he cried to everybody and said, come, see, Jesus cured my eyes. Come and see, come and look my eye. And he was screaming and crying, and everybody came and praised the Lord that God cured him. We say that we have faith. We say that we have faith. But in actual life, I am very weak in faith. I have just little faith. So as a servant of God, you have to have faith and to deliver that faith which you have to others. How would you like your kids or those whom you are serving have faith while you don't? What you give them? We have to think about that, my friends, that it's very important as a servant of God to have a strong faith and deliver it to whom you are serving. Second point is, which I would like to tell you also about, simplicity. Simplicity, we have to be simple. Sometimes if you are a very good servant, you lose your simplicity. Believe me. Sometimes if you feel that I'm very strong in my service, the kids are likes me so much, or I can convince anybody with my ideas, sometimes we get out of the track and we lose our simplicity. And we think that we are good and we are better and we know better than others. Well, it's not truth. If you have anything good in you, this is from God, not from you. If you know how to speak even, this is from God, not from you. We are nothing, nothing. And you're responsible for anybody you're serving. And if you take care of your responsibility, you're doing nothing. This is your job as a servant. I believe that when they come to ordain the Pope, they put their hands and they said, from your hand, God will ask the blood or the souls of everybody you're serving. So the Pope says, oh my goodness, am I gonna be responsible for 15 million people? And God will ask from my hand each one of them? I can't. So he gathered or ordained some bishops and said, from your hand, as if he's saying, from your hand, I will ask you for the souls you are serving. So the bishop said, oh my God, I can't. There are around 30 or 40,000 people under my supervision. No, I can't be responsible for that. So he gathered or ordained some priests and said, from your hand, I will ask the blood of each soul you are serving. So Abuna said, no, I can't. I have a lot of things to do. So he gathered some of you, some servants, and asked them, from your hands, God will ask you for each soul you're serving. You can't go to heaven without those whom you are serving. They have to go and kiss the door of the heaven before you. They have to go in first. And you follow them. I know it's a very big responsibility, but you have to carry it. You can't say, no, I can't serve. You have to serve. It's a must. And one of the things which can help you in this, simplicity. Be simple as much as you can. Don't complicate the stuff. Don't think that you are good, even into your heart. I lived with very simple people, and they give me a very good lesson to live in simplicity. I might have told you before about Father Tedros Al-Antoni, and he was just a simple man, very simple. He was the disciple of Abuna Justus Al-Antoni. And to know his simplicity, I will tell you. He was just somebody got him a blender, just to mix the food, because I think he had a stomach cancer, I think. But he never went to a doctor. He never went to a doctor. And he refused completely to go to any of the doctors. And he had this, so he got the blend, and I went to eat with him one day. I found him eating something very strange. It looks very strange. I said to him, what are you eating, Abuna? He said, everything in the blender. I said, yes, but what it was? He said, the food came from the monastery. Yes, what it was? Lenten. Good. What else? He said, Lenten and two fishes and one banana and two oranges. Oh my goodness. Did you mix them together, Abuna? I said, yes. This is the blender for. I said, no, Yabuna, you have to make each type together. He said, oh, it comes to my stomach like that, each type alone, I mean individual. I said, no, of course they mix together inside. He said, so if they are gonna mix inside, why I don't mix it outside? It is the same. So I'm telling you how much he was simple, very, very simple. One day, an ambassador came to meet him. And you know that ambassador means in Arabic Safir. So, and the guard from Upper Egypt called Ghafir. So we told him, there is Safir wants to meet you. He said, what, Ghafir? We said, Abuna Safir. He said, what is Safir? Ghafir. We said, okay, foreign Ghafir. He wants to meet you. He said, okay, let him go to the church. We said, Abuna, there is no seats in the church, and this is VIP. He said, no, in the church, otherwise I will not meet him. So we took the man and we left the bodyguards outside, and we took him to the, he was from Europe, I think. He was very neat, nice, standing like that, a very tall man. And Abuna Tadros came with his dirty clothes, and behind him a very dirty pillow. And he put it and said to, in Arabic, to the ambassador, أنت الغفير? Are you the guard? Yeah? But in Arabic. So we translated completely different. Are you the ambassador? So the ambassador said, yes, I am. I said to him, okay. I will sleep here down there, and you take this carton, and hawili, just give me some air. So we didn't translate. We couldn't. The man is VIP, and Abuna Tadros wants him to yani yahwilo, to fan him. And he laid down. So I was there. I said to Abuna, you can't do that. You can't. This man is very important. I will do it. I will ana hawilak. He said, no, almost. You are a proto-priest. You can't do that. So the other Abuna said, okay, I will do it. He said, no, you are a priest. We said, but this man is not ghafir. He's not a guard. He's very important. He said, he'll never be important than a priesthood. Even he's a king. I want him to yahwili. So the ambassador found us fighting with him. He said, would you please tell me what's going on, why you are quarreling with him? What's happened? I said to him, no, nothing. Nothing at all. He wants you to fan him. He said, fan him? I said, yeah. It's actually Egyptian technique. And I will teach you how to do it. And we call it Yahweh. So you will carry this and do that. This is Yahweh in Egypt. So the man said, okay, I will do whatever he wants. And he knelt down beside him. And he kept fanning him. And every time he stopped, Abuna Tadros opened his eyes and said, Yahweh, he start again. After 15 minutes or so, Abuna took a nap while the ambassador is fanning him. He woke up and grabbed his dirty pillow behind him, and he took the carton from the man and said to him, you have a good heart. You will have a baby, and you will call him John. So we translated that to the ambassador. He said, oh my goodness, did you tell him? We said, actually, we don't know anything. We don't know what you want. He said, I came here for that reason, because I've been, for 13 years, I have no babies at all. And one of the employees in the embassy told me, if you go to Abuna Tadros and pray for you, you will have a baby. So thank God. God revealed to him what my need, and I'm sure I have a baby. And actually, he came next year with his baby, John, as Abuna Tadros told him. He was very simple. If you ask Abuna Tadros after this miracle, you did a very good miracle, Abuna, he will look at you and say, what miracle are you talking about? He as if there is nothing happened. He's still in his simplicity. And if he got any message from God, he just delivered it to the people. I remember that one day he was in coma. I took him into my car to the hospital. And on our way in the middle of the desert, nowhere, He opened his eyes and said, he came back to conscious and said, "Abuna Vishwa, where are you going?" I said, "I'm sorry, Abuna, I'll take you to the hospital." He said, "No, hospital, no, doctors, no, 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 please." And I said to him, "Abuna, doctors are not against us. They're good people. You know, they don't know anything. They're ignorant. But Jesus gave them all the knowledge and help to cure us. So they cure us through Jesus Christ. So don't worry at all." And at the end, he said to me, "Look, Abuna, I don't want to go." But I said, "If I'll not take you to the hospital, I'll be very upset. You know that I'm in charge now, and I will be very upset. And if I go, I will be very upset." So he said, "What if I die now?" I said, "Abuna, it's not an option." He said, "No, this is not your job. What I'm talking about, if I die, I will go to heaven and you will be happy, and I will be happy too. So this is the best solution for me and for you. Sing a song to the Saint Mary." So I start singing to Sherry Maria, and he made his hands like cross, and he died very simply, like he lived his life. Simple, and in his death also was simple. Simplicity is very important for me and you to go to heaven. Simplicity is very important for us to serve others, because we are delivering to them what we have, either faith and simplicity. I'm sorry I took a long time with you, but I'm very happy to be with you. And I'm just, after I finished my sermon, I'm just reminding you of CYC. Please don't forget CYC. It's your responsibility also. Seriously, your servants. And CYC is serving with you, is helping you. Because you are serving the people in your sermons or lectures or whatever, just only 2 hours or so a week. But CYC in their houses, all the day, every day, day and night. So they are in need of it. I remember a lady met me in Canada and said, "Abuna, this is not your channel. This is out of our prayers and mitanias. You got your CYC. So a lot of people were praying for CYC to be there. And after it appeared, now I can't running it at all. Can you imagine that we are paying every month for CYC in America, $16,000 for the satellite only. And how much we get from all United States? Not 2,500. And I have to get from the poor people from Egypt money to run the channel. I'm sure you won't accept that. This first. Second, this is the only voice in English for our Coptic church. What other channels do we? Just blah, 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 all in Arabic for ourselves. But this is the only channel in English. When they need to take documentary films in Canada government, they asked us to send them some of our production, and we did. So, my beloved, I want you to think about, if you are thinking to go for a mission work, CYC is doing that better than me and you, because it's always in their bedrooms. I can show you from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, and Russia, Frankfurt, many countries, people are sending us emails to know more about Christ. And they are asking us to some programs about Christ and Jesus Christ. And I said maybe there is somebody in Afghanistan is preparing a bomb. And if he see to bomb it in Egypt, and if he watches CYC, Jesus Christ might change his heart, so he will bomb it in his country. Or something else, yeah. Who knows? So, what I'm saying is CYC is very, very important for your kids, your children, and your grandchildren also. They are in need of such a channel. Yeah. You know, You love Abuna Anthony Msiha, for example. I will give you just a little example. You love Abuna Anthony Msiha very much, and all we love him. But there were people in the world, they didn't know anything about him. They didn't hear about him. But when they were watching CYC, they know about him, and they are now every week sitting there watching his sermon. So it's fantastic channel, and you have to help. I can't go on without you. Seriously, just go and tell other people that the channel in need. How can I run it? From Egypt? From the poor people in Egypt? And what I am asking, not even a lot of money, just only $10 or $20. It's less, I mean, $10, it's less than, cheaper than Netflix. Yeah. And Starbucks or so. So, but monthly payment, what I need is monthly payment, just $10, $20. And I will ask Abunas to pay, the first people here in this church. I ask them to put payment, monthly payment, at least $10 or $20. Yeah, we have all to support the channel. I'm a monk. I don't need the channel. But because God put into our hearts to do that work, I'm doing it. You know, in my cell, I'm a king. I don't need anything. But I'm going from country to country, sleeping in the streets or over the nights in my car just to collect some money for the channel. But I don't think I will continue like that So it's your responsibility. I'm just giving you now all the responsibility to run this channel. And if it shut down one day, tell your kids that in your days there was a channel and you didn't support it. And shut down. I'm sorry to say that, but it's serious. I'm in a very, you know, that I took a very bad decision last 2 weeks, and I was really, until now, I am very upset because America and Canada, they don't have enough money for satellite. So I had to get money from Egypt and from Australia because the generous people in Australia, they were paying a lot. So what I've done, I couldn't do anything because the man in Australia, the satellite, they put instead of 5,000, they make it 16,000. So I couldn't pay. I have to pay to one satellite, either yours or them. And I took a very bad decision, that yours. And now they have no satellite and no TV signal. I hope it will come back soon. So I'm sharing that with you to feel how much I'm in stress. And I want you to help me and to help your church and to help your kids. Invest in the future of your kids. Okay? God bless you all. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everything, for every condition. You give us a lot, and we know that you love us so much, and you are helping us in every way we go. Give us faith, and give us simplicity. We need it. And we give us love towards each other and towards those whom we are serving. Lord, we need you in our life, in our hearts. And you know that we are very weak, and we are sure that you can strengthen our faith. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the intercession of Saint Mary and all the saints, we ask you to hear us when we call you thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive the trespasses against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.